We stand here together as a family. We join hands together, lifting praises to the Father above for sending His Son. We've chosen together as a family to serve Him forever, knowing nothing else will matter in time. We've made up our minds. Through the heat of the day, we will join in the fight till He takes us away, till our faith becomes sight. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Choose you this day.
Tell me, whom will you serve? Let nothing stand in your way. Give the praise He deserves.
As for
me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
We will serve
Him.
We will serve
Him.
We will
serve Him. For He is worthy.
Choose you this day.
Tell me, whom will you serve? Let nothing stand in your way. Give the praise He deserves.
As for
me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
This is Pastor David Warner welcoming you to the Nuggets of Truth broadcast. Well, Easter. Easter is about the resurrection. Yes, Jesus came to save His people from their sin. He accomplished that at Calvary. His body was broken, His blood was shed, that you and I could obtain eternal redemption. They came to the tomb. What did they find? An empty tomb. 40 days after the resurrection, He showed Himself alive. People witnessed the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. And so, the nuggets of truth today, the question, who is Jesus? Why today there are a lot of people in religion. They look at their religion. They look at their religious leaders. They look at their denominations. And they value that above Jesus. I think we need to answer the question. Who is Jesus? Well, He is God and man. One person, two natures. His human nature, well, it began with His virgin birth. You see, Isaiah wrote, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." He's talking about Jesus, the God-man. Unto us a child is born. That's the virgin birth. You see, Micah the prophet, he said, look, He's going to be born in Bethlehem. This is the one that will come forth to be ruler in Israel, whose going forths have been from of old, from everlasting. Oh, He's talking about the fact of His divine nature. He is God. Always has been. Always will be. He is God. And so when I read, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Yes, the second person of the Godhead, the Son of God, came to be born. To take on the human nature. And He went to a cross. For there had to be a perfect sacrifice. And so when I read, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot." The perfect Lamb of God. For He is God and man. And did you notice Peter said, "You're not redeemed with silver and gold." A lot of people think that they can buy their way to heaven. Not possible. A lot of people believe that they can keep the tradition of their fathers. Not possible. Our redemption, my redemption, your redemption. If you are on your way to heaven, you have confessed that you're a sinner. You have placed trust in the Savior. That's it. Because He came as the last lamb to be offered for the sin of the world. And so by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. And so when Jesus said, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. So there it is. Who is Jesus? He is God and man, the perfect sacrifice by which you and I could call out and say, Lord, would you forgive me? Would you save me? And he would, and he could, and he will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, the next part of this, if he came to save sinners, well, the Bible defines sin. The question of sin, well, you see, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so here, Jesus Christ, he went to the cross. The law demands death for sin. But the Bible says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Jesus took my place. He took my sin. He paid my sin debt. And in Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. In other words, blotting it out, wiped out the indictment against sinners that would believe on him. And so today, I said sin is defined by the law of God. The word of God reveals what sin is. And so when I look at his principles, his statutes, his commandments, none of that has changed. The Ten Commandments still intact. You say, how do you know that? Well, remember what Jesus said? He said, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And then he went on to say, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of God. And so he's less than the lowest place of all professing Christians. There are a lot of people today that would like to change the definition of sin. Why, the government? Look what they're doing. There's many religious leaders and religious denominations that would like to change what the Word of God says. But God says very clearly that in his book, the Bible, that is the final authority. And so Jesus says here, I just want you to know, nothing's changed. What God called sin, it is still sin. And so Paul goes on and he makes a statement, and I want you to follow along with me. In Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3, he gives three groups, three categories. He talks about the heathen, and then he describes, he lists several people, several things that describe the heathen. You want to look at that? One of them, disobedient to parents, that's an interesting one. They're heathen. Well, if you don't correct a child, what's he going to do? He's going to get stronger and bolder. And what's a heathen do? He keeps moving away from God and from God's rules and God's commandments and God's law. And so here, he lists fornicators, murderers, those that are without natural affection. He even deals with the homosexual and lesbians in Romans chapter number 1. And he calls them sinners. They need to be saved. Now, don't get upset over that, but look at the second one. The second group, that's the moral group. Oh, they might drink, but they don't get drunk. They might get angry, but they don't murder. They might lust, but they don't commit adultery. And what's Paul say? You might be moral, but understand, if you get angry, then you murdered in your heart. If you lust, well, maybe you didn't commit adultery, but that adultery was committed in your heart through your lust. Well, he makes it awful difficult, doesn't he? He's revealing sin. A little bit different than the way a lot of people would like to describe it. And then you get to the third group, most interesting group of all. And now he's talking to Jews, and he says, you call yourself a Jew. You think you're a guide to the blind, a light to them which are in darkness, and you teach. He says, Do you teach yourself? You preach that a man shouldn't steal. Do you steal? You preach that a man should not commit adultery. Do you commit adultery? What's he saying? You may be religious, but if you do these things, guess what? You're not going to heaven either. Why? Well, he's describing sin and sinners. And so, here, when Jesus came to save sinners, I close with this. Philippian jailer asks the question, what must I do to be saved? And what was the answer? Do you know the answer? Hey, the resurrection. Understand, Jesus came to save sinners. And he went to a cross. He died. He was buried. On the third day, he was raised from the dead. He shed his blood that you and I might be able to do like the thief on the cross. Cry out, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to go to heaven. Yet Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so what was the answer? Well, Paul answered the Philippian jailer when he said, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. To believe on him is to come to grips with the fact that you're a sinner and ask forgiveness. That doesn't give you a license to keep on practicing sin. No, if any man believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he will turn from that sin and live for Jesus. Not perfect, but wait a second. He won't be practicing sin. The minute he fails, the minute he sins, he'll recognize. Because you see, we are to, yes, to believe on him is to follow him. You know, today, do you know him? We'd like to invite you to the New Freedom Baptist Church.